Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, was it Grandma who turned the lights on for him?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Do you have a real ghost story? Because if you do, why not share it with us? If you want to call it in, it's 855-853-4802. If you'd like to write it in, go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And then remember, you could be a premium subscriber if you want to. No commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the complete archive, which is big, like really, really, really big. You could sign up through Apple Podcasts where you can try it 3 days free. Sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes and Kathy Gordon's here today. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I got a story for you.
Oh, let's hear this.
Okay. So Ariana Grande, right? Had a terrifying supernatural encounter following a visit to Stoll Cemetery in Kansas City, which is known as one of the seven gates of hell.
Which is actually not in Kansas City.
It's not in Kansas City.
The people who don't live here, they're like...
They were just trying to find the biggest town that you could identify close to. But it's actually
between Lawrence and Topeka.
Okay. And it said she said, I felt sick. This overwhelming feeling of negativity over the whole car. She was with other people. We smelled sulfur, which is a sign of a demon. Later, weird things would happen to her when she heard whispers one night in bed, along with disturbing images like red floating shapes and massive black matter.
And if somebody doesn't know, the Stoll, Kansas Cemetery supposedly is one of the seven portals to hell. Is it a portal?
They said gates, but portal gates.
And so the legend is that, and in fact, I've read different stories of what supposedly happened, but there was a church there, there's a cemetery there. So the story that I heard was a woman got pregnant by the pastor at the church or the priest, not totally sure what kind of church it was, and had this baby in. I don't know if that's created this portal to hell.
Well, and didn't, and I think part of the story was that he then said she was a witch and they killed her.
Supposedly, yeah. And she was hung at a tree by the church, and the tree did stand there for a long time. I don't think it's there any longer. They have pretty much torn the church down, and there is a stone in the cemetery that's very strange. And it's like known around the world. And so, especially during October, a lot of people come and try to,
like the Pope wouldn't fly over that?
That's what they say. Now, you know, not like the Pope's around here all that often, but.
Exactly. But I apparently, there are some people that refuse to fly over that area. So I think I must fly over it every now and then. So nothing's happened to me because I go in and out of Kansas City and Wichita all the time. So surely we've flown over that at times. But I just thought that was interesting that we've got a celebrity connection to that story that we've talked about on the show.
I'd heard that she had gone there. I didn't realize that, you know, she's still having it, or she continued.
I don't know if she still is now, but she said after that she was seeing red shapes. And, you know, I kind of had a red thing a while back in this house that I'm living in now. At night, it was dark, and I started down the hall, and there was this kind of red, like a vapor of some sort. At the end of the hallway.
And to me, that's just not good.
it didn't feel good. I will tell you, the feeling that went through me was not like a comfort feeling. That's for sure.
Like, I'm not feeling very positive about this.
Like I watch it and then it just kind of dissipates. And I'm standing there going, okay, I have to go down there to get back to my bed because I had just come down to the kitchen to get a drink of water. So I've got to walk down this hallway and I stand there for a minute. Okay, it's not coming back. And finally, I just get up the nerve and I go really fast down the hall and just fly through there. And that's the only time that's ever happened.
Thank God.
Yeah, I've never seen it. Now watch, knock on wood, right, tonight, you know, I have another red vapor thing going on. But, you know, it wasn't like I could see, it was more like a mist of some sort, some kind of, you know, I didn't see anything in it. It was just like red smoke or something.
What if you saw, you know, Ariana Grande? What are, Ariana, well, what are you doing in my house? Are you real? Well,
I would worry that something happened to her if that was the case. We don't want that.
She's shouldn't delightful. Be here. Go to the light. You should not be here. Yeah,
no,
in my
no,
house.
She's lovely. We don't want anything to happen to her.
No. Well, here's our story. And it says, okay. I grew up in Oklahoma City, but I went to college in Utah. So on many occasions, I would take the 20-hour road trip between the two states for holidays, breaks, and what have you. It's like this trip is a what have you. Luckily, my grandmother lived in Denver and made a perfect stopping point. Growing up so far away from her, I would only see her once every few years, but during college, I would see her every few months. We developed a great relationship, and I always looked forward to seeing her when I would pass through. She grew up in the Deep South, and Southern hospitality was a way of life that would not be ignored for her, so every time I came to see her, she would stay up and wait for me to make sure I had everything I needed, as a proper host should. Sadly, she passed away my junior year. I was able to deal with her passing as well as you would expect, but it was tough knowing I wouldn't be able to stop and see her for a day or two on my way through, as I had for the last few years. That makes me so sad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm happy that they had that time, and, you know, because they, you know, Oklahoma City to Denver is quite a ways. So it's mm-hmm. nice that they got to know each other too.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the end of that school year, I was going back to Oklahoma for summer break. The family had not yet sold her house, so I thought I would stay there one last time for memory's sake and as kind of a closing to our visits. After the 8-hour drive from Salt Lake to Denver, I turned onto her street late at night and immediately was struck with how dark the house was. She would always have the front porch and the front room that faced out into the street well lit while she patiently waited on the couch for me to pull in. It struck me how empty and dark the house looked without those lights on, and I felt a thick, heavy sadness brought on by knowing I wouldn't see Granny anymore. The key I had was for the back door, so I parked in the driveway with a sad, dark porch and front window to my right as I went through the gate on the left of the driveway and around to the back of the house. I opened the door into the dark house and dropped my overnight bag on the couch in the living area in the back of the house and turned on a lamp before taking off for the bathroom. As I walked out into the front room that faced the street to get to the bathroom on the other side of the house, I stopped dead in my tracks and my stomach fell to the floor. Every light in the front room facing the street was on, including the front porch light. The two lamps in the front room and chandelier over the front door were like headlights, and I was the helpless little doe frozen on a dark highway. At first, I thought they must have always been on, but I remembered the sadness that struck me seeing these lights were turned off as I pulled up to the house just a minute or so before. To convince myself that my departed granny had not turned the lights on for me and all the supernatural implications of that scenario, I decided I must have turned them on with a switch in the kitchen or some other light switch I walked by and hit. I went from frozen dough into a heart-pounding panic as none of the switches I could readily access turned the light off. The switch that turned the light over the door off was on the other side of the room that I had not walked by yet, and the lamps had to be turned off individually. I was scared shitless. Looking back, it is a comforting thought knowing my granny realized the sadness the dark house induced within me, and ever the proper host wanted to fix that to make my visit more comfortable. In the moment, however, I was freaking out. As time passed, several pieces of her furniture ended up in my siblings' homes, and my brother had two chairs from Granny's front room in the living room of his own home. I found out later that my one-year-old nephew would frequently be found sitting in front of one of those chairs, laughing and looking up, smiling as though he was being entertained by an unseen, loving great-grandmother. Later on, the same nephew was at my parents' house. My dad had a picture of Granny from her college days framed in his study. When my nephew saw it, he started pointing and smiling at it. Not as exciting as shadow people, but you don't have to twist my arm for me to believe that we carry on after this life and there are people who love us on the other side. Thanks for the awesome podcast. Keep it up. That's from Mike in Salt Lake City. I think that is so beautiful.
Okay, so I was thinking about this, you know, because we always try to think possibilities. But of course, I'm sure Mike tried to think of all the possibilities way before Mike wrote this to us. But I was trying to think, could lights have been set on a timer because nobody's there and you want it to feel like somebody's there? So, you know, could that be the case? But I don't, like, I could see it in some of the lights, but like, you don't set a chandelier on a timer, do you? I suppose maybe you could. But to have them all set on some sort of timer, like usually a timer is like this one light or that one or something.
And I could see the timer thing would make sense. The chances of it turning on and, you know, by the time you parked and walked in and then the
lights. Yeah, I mean, it
on.
Was just set for, you know, 6 o'clock and you got there at 5:50 or whatever. And by the time you got in and got to there, they'd flipped on. But all of them were on
a timer?
But
I would think at your grandmother's house, that would be kind of an old school timer. Unless maybe somebody came in and put in something fancy, but I would think he would see it.
And wouldn't he have known? I mean, wouldn't someone have said, oh, those lights are on a timer, Mike?
Yeah.
You know, when, because I'm sure he mentioned it to somebody at some point in the family that I was at grandma's and then this happened.
I would, they would think
say,
he
oh,
would.
We've got that set up. But I. It just feels weird to me that they're all on a timer. Usually you have maybe that lamp and that one, but the front porch and all of them, you know, coming on. Because he talked like, you know, they were all these different fixtures.
And it just seems like it's something he would have seen.
Yeah.
You know, like there would have been a timer.
Yeah. He
somewhere.
Would have, you know. Yeah.
You know, maybe it's all Alexa. But I don't know.
Today, that would be the case. It could be, you know, but here's the thing. I'm sure that occurred to him because that's so obvious.
But isn't right? it such I'm, a grandmotherly thing to do? Like, well, Mike's mm-hmm. here. I've got to turn the lights on for him and make sure he's comfortable.
Yeah.
I just prefer, rather than even debunking that it's a timer, I just want to think it's his grandma because she still loves him and she loved their time together. But that's the sweetest thing with him moving away to college, that he was able to have that relationship with his grandmother he would have never had.
That's right.
You know, so that's pretty sweet. So I'm going with his grandma turned the lights on.
I'm going to, too, because I think he's already gone through that scenario.
And I want to think it's his grandmother turning the lights on. Like, I want that more than anything.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, so here's our next story. Hey, guys, my name is Kenzie. I recently found your podcast when I was looking for something to listen to while I'm at work. I really love what you guys are doing. It's nice to get your feedback on the stories people send you. Listening to your show brought up a memory of one of the first paranormal experiences I had. When I was about 8 years old, my parents got married and we moved from the village I had grown up in southern Ohio to where my dad lived, which was about 30 minutes away. I was a very awkward and anxious kid, so because my parents decided it was best that I didn't switch schools, my mom, who worked in the town next to where my school was, would drop me off at school before she went to work. Since we had a 30-minute commute, we left our house pretty early in the morning, about 7 or so. Fast forward a few years to when I was 13. It was about early to mid-October when the mornings were very dark, so the streetlights were usually still on. There was a small neighborhood next to the highway full of small houses, a lot of them in various states of disrepair, that we would pass every day. on our way to our destination, and there was a single street light that was near the highway on the small road that led from the highway to the neighborhood. I always watched from the window as we passed the sprawling farms and clusters of trees that dot the landscape of southern Ohio. On this particular morning, I wasn't really paying much attention to what was going on outside of the car, but as we approached the little neighborhood, I felt compelled to look up. There, under the streetlight, I saw a man. He was standing a little bit in front of the streetlight, so he was sort of backlit, and I couldn't make out any features on his face, but from his silhouette, I could see he was wearing a suit, a top hat with shoulder-length, scraggly hair peeking out of it, and he had a black cane with a silver handle that glistened in the lamplight. That's very specific stuff.
It really is, isn't it?
I was a little shaken and asked my mom if she had seen the man. She hadn't been paying attention to anything, not in front of her on the road, so she said no and assured me it was probably someone out to scare people since it was October and Halloween was in a few weeks. I accepted her explanation and went on to school and didn't think any more about the man in the road. The next morning, we passed the neighborhood again, and there the man was, standing in the middle of the small road leading off the highway now. I excitedly started pointing and telling my mom to look. She didn't see him, but assured me again that it was someone playing a prank and nothing to be afraid of. This continued for the remainder of the week, the man moving closer and closer to the highway, until one day the man was just behind the guardrail. He was close enough to the car and out of the shadows now, so I should have been able to see details on his face and clothes, but I couldn't. He still looked like he was lit from behind and had a heavy shadow obscuring him. The only things not obscured were his gray, scraggly hair and that shiny silver handle on his cane. Seeing him there so close to the car sent a chill down my spine. As we passed him, the air became ice cold and I could feel him watching me almost like he was seeing right into my soul. I never saw him again after that. A few years later, I asked my mom if she had ever seen him or even looked, and she revealed to me that after I first said something about the man, she looked every day and never saw a thing. This is by far the most terrifying paranormal experience I've ever had, and maybe someday I'll share some others with you guys. Anyway, keep up the good work. I look forward to hearing your opinions. Well, that's interesting that she would, and it sounds like, what, she saw the guy every day for like a week?
And he got closer.
Yeah, and each time. And mom never did see him. And she confirmed that with mom. Like, you know, the guy from way back when, did you ever see him or were you just making that up?
And she and the mom said she was looking.
And never did see him. So why do you think Kenzie could see him and mom couldn't? Maybe Kenzie's more open to the paranormal.
That would be my guess. You know, children often are. And do you think that there are that spirits can reveal themselves to some people, but not other? I mean, to who they want to and not others?
Yeah.
So you might be in a room and one person sees something, the other person doesn't.
Could be sensitive.
Or could it be that the spirit has some control over who's seeing them?
And sometimes I wonder, it's kind of one of those things like maybe the spirit's like, she can see me. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that connection and it's like, I want her to see me. So I'm going to be out there every day.
It reminds me of another story, too, that we heard that. But this one didn't happen over a period of days. It was just like as somebody got up and looked out of their bed, looked up out the window and saw a man, you know, a ways away. And then they went down the stairs and at the landing, they looked out the window and he was closer.
Yeah.
And then when they got downstairs, he was at the door.
Yeah. I remember
it kind
that
of
one.
Reminds me of this oddness where this is getting closer like that. You know?
But good thing that it doesn't feel safe to me, like if she would be walking by the fact that she's driving by and he can't really connect.
But it just was that one week.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm sure they continued this drive for, I don't know, maybe years.
I'm getting a creepy feeling from it. Just that I don't know what he wanted with her, but it doesn't feel like it was good.
Yeah. It's weird it just was that 1 week.
Yeah. But I like, you know? I like mom. Like, oh, it's Halloween, honey. You know, people, they do things
that's
like that
a mom
Halloween.
Thing. You know, we try to protect the kids and, you know, not try to panic them and go, where, what, you know, and instead go, oh, yeah, Halloween's coming up, you know, we'll get to, and then start talking about your costume. So we forget that, you know, kind of thing. But to me, the odd part is that it just stopped at a week.
Yeah. I don't know. Thank you for writing that in, Kenzie. We've got one more. Quick story. Here it is.
My mom made me, actually, she made me call you guys, but I'm going to tell you my story anyway. Me and my brother and my husband, we lived in this house with my mom, and where was in Lake Elsmore. And we were talking about death and ghosts and everything. And my husband proceeded to tell me and my brother a story about his friend Werner that had passed away in his apartment in Orange County before I knew him, before my brother knew him, but he committed suicide. And he had told his friend Werner after they found him dead that anywhere that my husband was, he was welcome there. So, like, anyway, so, like, the story went along where, like, people were getting poked and prodded at his funeral. But what really got me and my brother is that we were talking about Werner one night in this old house. And it was only me, my brother, and my husband. And there's a fire going because we had a fireplace. And in the middle of the room, there's this long wooden coffee table. And right in the middle of it was this big, thick book. I forget which book it was or whatever. And we started talking about Werner and ghosts and if, you know, we believed in him or not. And me and my brother and my husband were sitting there and we were nowhere around the book. So the book slides off the coffee table and it stands straight up. And my brother's looking at me and he's looking at my husband. And he wants to jump in between. He's like, oh, my God, that scared the crap out of me. And it was just really weird how that we were talking about Werner at the time that he appeared, I think, and showed that, yeah, there is life after death. I don't know how much to explain it, but my brother was really freaked out about it. And I kind of am, too. But anyway, that's my story. And it's pretty short, kind of boring, but there it is. Bye.
I do not think that was a boring story. I would not call that one boring. And it's funny. It's
that
like,
one has scared the crap
out
of me.
Yeah, because it's like the brother scared the crap out of her. And she's like, kind of scared me too. Like the book, it's like a coffee table book, is what it sounded like.
I would have screamed.
Like it moves and then it sits up on its own while you're sitting around and talking about ghosts and paranormal stuff.
Yeah.
I'd be like, Kathy, how did you do that? How did you make that
No,
happen?
You wouldn't. First, you'd have screamed, and then you would have looked at me and said, not funny, not fucking funny, Kathy. That's what you would have said.
Why did you do that to me?
Pardon my French. Sorry about that. But that is what you would have said. You would have blamed me immediately, and I would have been like, I did not do this, because I screamed as well, Carol.
That's just funny, because she's like, my boring story. Like, that is anything but boring. Like, that is not a boring story. I found it rather terrifying, actually.
Yeah, I know. I was a little bit worried, too, like that it was just going to slowly open and the pages start turning or something. I was trying to figure out, what's this book going to do? I know the book is going to do something.
And I don't know that what it actually did was any better.
Well, it stood up.
I mean, that's pretty scary shit. And especially when you're sitting around having a conversation like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be running out of the house. We both know that. So if you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Don't forget, if you want to be a premium subscriber, you could do that. No commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. Sign up today through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up at patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.